This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Genesis chapter 2, and I want to call your attention to verse 24 and verse 25. Listen to what God's word says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. And the Bible says they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. Let us pray. God, in the eons of time, you knew who would be here. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. I pray that you will speak, Lord, whether it's people watching online, people in our campuses. I pray you would just speak and manifest yourself. And God, for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you for several weeks about there's no place like home. No place like home. But today, I want to talk to you about the four major laws of marriage. The four major laws of marriage. A couple was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. What a celebration. And it was all the pomp and circumstance, and it was just a wonderful celebratory time. But she couldn't find her husband. And she thought, my goodness, we've been married 50 years. Where's he at? And she goes to the bedroom, and he's on the bed, and he's crying uncontrollably. And she said, well, honey, you shouldn't be crying today. We're celebrating 50 years of marriage. He said, well, I was just thinking. She said, what were you thinking about? He said, do you remember 50 years ago when your father caught me and you out behind the barn? She said, oh, I remember that. Yes, I do. And she said, your father got a gun. And remember, he pointed that gun at me. And he said to me, if I did not marry you, he would make sure that I went to jail for 50 years. She said, yes, I remember that. He said, I was just thinking, tomorrow I could be a free man. Tomorrow, I could be a free man. But I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, God never meant for it to be that way. God never meant for it to be that way. See, God created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says he put them in a place. He put them in a garden. It was the Garden of Eden. Now, what does that word Eden mean? It means ultimate happiness. Ultimate happiness. It literally means paradise. God never meant for marriage to be something that's unhappy and that we dread and we don't enjoy. God said he meant for it to be ultimate happiness. God said he meant to be, it meant it to be, there's no place like home. Now I want you to understand something. There is a 100% success rate in marriage. There is a 100% success rate in marriage if done God's way. There is a 100% success rate in marriage if done God's way. Now look, Genesis 2:24. Says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God apparently wanted us to hear this. You say, well, Pastor, it's to Adam and Eve. No, it's not. And I can show you it's not about Adam and Eve. It's about you and me. Because Adam and Eve didn't have a mother to leave. They didn't have a father and mother to leave. Remember, they were created without a father and mother. Somebody said, I really have a problem with a virgin birth. I don't know why you'd have a problem with a virgin birth. God created a man without a man or a woman, amen? He created a man without a mama or daddy, so I don't know why we'd have a problem with a virgin birth. God doesn't need one of them. God doesn't need any of them if he chooses to do it. But look, he's saying that to us. God said that to us, but not only did God say that to us, I want you to get something. God said it, but not only did God say it, Jesus said the same thing. So get this, God said it, Jesus said it, but not only did God and Jesus say it, but the great apostle Paul said it in Ephesians 5:31. So apparently, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to get it. God wants us to get it. The laws of marriage. Now you say, Pastor, my marriage is sick. Perhaps it is. What's the hope? Psalms 107, verse 20 says, he sent forth his word and healed them. What's going to heal a sick marriage is the word of God. What's going to heal a sick marriage is the word of God. You say, but Pastor, my marriage is beyond that. My marriage is dead. Well, look what the Bible says. John 11 and 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You say, my marriage is dead. So was Lazarus. Amen. You say, my marriage stinks. So did Lazarus. Amen. But look what John 11, verse 43 says. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say Lazarus? Because if he had just said, come forth, every grave in the cemetery would have resurrected. Lazarus, come forth. What did he do? He resurrected that was dead. And ladies and gentlemen, I still believe that God can resurrect marriages that are dead. God can resurrect marriages that are dead if we follow his word. Now, you know what the most unread book in America is? The most unread book in America. Let me tell you what it is. You're thinking it's the Bible, but it's not. It's the car owner's manual. It's the most unread book in America. But this is what I know. If we have problems, if we've got a light that won't go off, and we've got something that's not functioning like it should be functioning in the automobile, we'll get the book and we'll start reading because we want to get it right. Folks, we've got the book to get it right. We've got the word of God. And God tells us how to get marriage right. See, think about this, folks. I don't mean this in the wrong way. It wasn't Oprah who invented it. It wasn't Dr. Phil who invented it. So why don't we go back to the one who invented marriage and do it the way he said do it, and then we can get it right. Because keep in mind, it was his concept in the beginning. Now there's four quick laws. That might be an exaggeration. There's four laws that I want to give you. They're the major laws of marriage. Law number one is the law of priority. It's the law of priority. Now I want you to see what God's word says. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Now look, that doesn't mean to abandon your father and mother. That doesn't mean to abuse your father and mother. Exodus 20 and 12 tells us we ought to honor our father and mother. We ought to honor. You say, well, I can't honor their performance. You may not can honor their performance, but you can honor their position. Honor thy father and thy mother. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means to relinquish the highest position of commitment to your mate. It means the highest level of commitment, the highest level of earthly relationship ought to be to your mate. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Barbara and I got married years ago. She said, where are we going to live? I said, there's not but one place to live. She said, where's that? I said, right down below mama. After a little while, I found out there were a lot of other places to live. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to each other, and they shall be one flesh. Because many times a young man gets married, and he gets married, but he's still got two women vying for the attention of one man. It's a wife, and it's a mother. See, the Bible says, leave thy father and thy mother. Now, you know, national average tells us this. National average says that you get married, and then 5 years later, you have children. Now, that's the national average. I know in some cases, the carriage comes before the marriage, amen? And I'm not here beating anybody up. As I say, there are no accidental children. They're just accidental parents. God's got a plan. But here's what happens. The children come along. And then the wife starts saying things like, he works all the time. He works all the time, and when he's home, he's exhausted. Or he's out with his buddies. And the husband starts saying things like, she's so into the kids. It's all about the kids. Every time I want to be romantic, she's just worn out from the kids. One man said to me on one occasion, he said, Pastor, my wife pays so little attention to me. I said, is that right? He said, yes. He said, if I died, she couldn't identify the body. But here's the secret, folks. We got to prioritize priorities. We got to prioritize priorities. And what's got to be number one in your life is God. All the dimensions of life, the only one that can go with you all the way is God. The only one that can go with you all the way is God. God's got to be first in your life. You'll be a better husband if you put God first. You'll be a better wife if you put God first. So God's first. Ladies and gentlemen, your spouse is second. Your spouse is second. God's got to be first. Your spouse has got to be second. Your children are third. Notice, God's first. Your spouse is second. Your children are third. We're just together for the children. What a horrible statement. What a horrible statement. Your children are not more important. They shouldn't have a greater priority than your mate. You're just one flesh with one, that being your husband or your wife. God's first. Your spouse is second. Your children are third. Get this, folks. Your church is fourth. You said not only, let me clarify something. Not only your church, but serving within your church. You say, Pastor, my church needs me. I wish I could say something to you. No, no, no. You need your church. No, no. You desperately need your church. God, your spouse, your children, your church, your family and friends, then your work and your hobbies or other interests. But it's the law of priority. But there's a second law that's so important. It's the law of pursuit. Look what it says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave. What does it mean to cleave? It means to pursue him or her energetically and cling to him or her for the rest of your life. It means to pursue energetically and cling to him or her for the rest of your life. I've got a buddy. Preacher buddy, his name's Johnny Hunt. He's a grandfather. He's got two grown daughters. He said, Pastor Benny, sometimes my two girls will call and say, Daddy, what are you doing? He said, I always respond the same way. I always say, I'm chasing mama around the house. See, for marriage to work, you've got to constantly be working at it. A couple occasions, we've had Bobby Bowden at our church. Bobby Bowden's in heaven now. He made a couple good, many good statements, but one good statement Bobby made, he said, it would be better that you were never born than not be born again. It would be better that you were never born than not be born again. But Coach Bowden and his wife, Miss Ann, were married for better than 70 years. Here's what I want to say to you, folks. If you want to get marriage right, get around people and learn from people who got marriage right. You don't need to be hanging out with people and learning from people that have been married so many times they've got rice markings on their face. And Bobby Bowden made this statement. He said, I don't care when you get married, what era you live in, there's nothing easy about marriage. You've got to work at it. It truly is work. It's the law of pursuit. It's the law of pursuit. And you said, Pastor, what do you do in marriage when the green grass comes along? What do you do when the grass looks greener? Well, I'll tell you, the Bible tells us. Wait, Proverbs 5. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. What do you do, Pastor? What do I do if I encounter greener grass? Here's what you do. Water your yard. Amen. Isn't this good? Water your yard. Now look, it's green, but look what the Bible says in Proverbs 7. He goeth after her straightway as an ox. And that ox goes to the green grass, but that ox ends up getting slaughtered. What are you saying, Pastor? Water your yard, and if you're not careful, that greener grass is over a septic tank. Oh, this is good preaching. Now, somebody said, Pastor, help me. Help me. What is love? Somebody said love is a word that's composed of two consonants, L and V, and two vowels, O and E, and two fools, you and me. But look, we've listened to Hollywood. And the world has sold us a bill of goods. The world has told us and sold us that love is the tingles. My heart just pounds when he walks in. I could just eat her up. You'll wish you had in a little while, but anyway. See, the world says love, it was just tingles. I'm so in love. And then I've fallen out of love as if there's no recourse. Because, see, the world's lied to us. You listen to this preacher. The world has lied to us. The world has lied to us and taught us that love's just something you feel. Oh, I wish I had Tina here with me today. I wish I had Tina Turner. And she could look at and say, what's love got to do with it? Oh, I just
I've just fallen out of love, Pastor. There's no recourse. No, you've missed it. See, you bought the world's bill of goods thinking that love is something that you feel, but love's not a feeling. I can prove to you that love's not a feeling. Get this, folks. Get this. Husbands, love your wives. Wait, that's a command. Look, you can't command somebody to feel a certain way. Can you imagine I stand from this platform and say, feel guilty right now. Feel grief right now. You can't command somebody to feel a certain way because love's not something you feel. Stick with me, folks, because this is good. Love's not something you feel. Look what the next verse says. Get this. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Wait. That they may teach the younger women. I'm going to get back to the point. But folks, something's wrong when the 25-year-old is teaching the 60-year-old. It's a violation of what God's word teaches. It's a violation of what God's... I wouldn't offend... Please, I don't want to offend you. I wouldn't offend you for anything. But at 25... Honey, you don't even know the question. I wouldn't offend you, but you don't even know the question. I'm convinced we shouldn't speak on anything till we get 40. I will agree with that. But look, what does these older women need to teach these younger women? Love your husbands. You can't command somebody to feel a certain way. So it's not a feeling. Well, what is it? Well, look what the Bible says. Love builds up. Love builds up. So you know what that tells me? Love's not something you feel. Love's something you do. Love's not something you feel. Love's not something you do. A bell's not a bell till you ring it. A song's not a song till you sing it. Love's not put in your heart to stay. It's not love till you give it away. Look what the scripture says. Love's patient. Love's kind. I kind of feel kind. No, you need to do kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. I'm talking about the law of priority. I'm talking about the law of pursuit. I'm talking about the law of possession. Look what it says. I'm almost done. Well, that'd be an exaggeration. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Look, and they shall be one flesh. Now listen, I'm not here to beat people up. I want to remind you of something. My mother was the fourth wife of the man who paid my way through Bible college. So if it was not for a man who was married four times, I wouldn't be in this pulpit today. There wouldn't be a Pastor Benny Tate if it hadn't been for a man who was married four times and my mother three times. So I'm not here to beat you up. But here's what I am here to tell you. Whatever your relationship you're in, your first marriage, your second marriage, your third marriage, you are to be one flesh. And if there were children prior to that, that one flesh relationship has to have authority over those children. Now get this. Certainly if the children are small and discipline is needed, it would be best for the biological parent to do that. But those children need to know that there's one relationship that's one possession. There's one relationship that's one soul.
because they need to see what a godly marriage looks like. They need to see what a godly marriage looks like. We came into here separately, but now we're jointly. You say, what are you talking about? The law of possession. Let me hit them right quick. Your body. Your body. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7. The husband should fulfill the marital duty to his wife. And likewise, the wife to her husband. Wait, hold it right there. That's the physical relationship. 80% of the time, the man will be more excited about this than the woman. 80% of the time. Your body. It's a proven fact that men are motivated. Men are more motivated on days that begin with T. It's true. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Tatterday, and Tunday. All right. Now look what verse 4 says. The wife does also not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Not a license for abuse. We're not talking about getting weird. We're not talking about leverage, manipulation, or punishment. But we're talking about their one flesh. And God's provision for sexual fulfillment is marriage. You say you shouldn't talk about it. I don't know why. I don't know why not. It all started with God. It's His plan. He said it's wonderful. And most of us are here because of it. The law of possession. Not only your body, but your finances. Your finances. See, when you're single, it can be mine and thine is fine. But once you get married, it's ours. Amen. One lady said to her husband, she said, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. If it wasn't for my money, that BMW wouldn't be here. I want you to know, if it wasn't for my money, that Olympic-sized swimming pool wouldn't be here. I want you to know, if it wasn't for my money, those jet skis wouldn't be here. He said, wait just a minute. I want you to know, if it wasn't for your money, I wouldn't be here. A prenuptial is a death sentence to marriage. Ours. Your body. Your finances. Your children. I've got two. He's got two. No. We've got four. No. I've got two. Look here. Theodore Hesburgh said this. The greatest thing a father can do for his children is love their mother. But you said, Pastor, I'm in my second or third marriage. Let them see what a godly marriage ought to look like. They may have not seen it in your life in round one, but let them see it in round two. And if they didn't see it in round two, let them see it in round three. If they didn't see it in round three, let them see it in round four. They need to see what a godly marriage looks like. Let me give you the last law and I'm done. It's the law of purity. It's the law of purity. Look what the Bible says. Verse 25. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. What was it? It was an atmosphere of intimacy and openness. They were totally open to each other, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And they weren't ashamed. But I want you to see something. Genesis 3:7 says this. They sinned,
and they knew they were naked. Not till they sinned. But when they sinned, they knew they were naked. And then verse 10 says something. It says, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What happens in our relationships? God wants us to be totally open, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But sin creeps in, and then we start hiding. And then we start hiding. And that purity and that transparency is no longer there, because secrecy and sin have taken control. What? See, get this, folks, and I'm done with this. Trust is the foundation of any and every relationship. So, man, he's exactly right. Trust is the foundation of every relationship. Well, how do I build trust? Get this. The Bible tells us. Ephesians 4:15. You speak the truth in love. You just speak the truth. You just speak the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, act the truth. And it builds trust in the relationship. Let me tell you a story and then I'm done. My buddy Jensen Franklin wrote a book called Acres of Diamonds. It's a good book. He tells a story to kick off the book, and I close with this story. He opened the book, I close the message with this book, with this story. It's about a man by the name of Ali Hafad. Ali Hafad owned a little farm. He had a wife and children, and everything was good. But Ali Hafad read about men finding diamonds and getting rich. And he said, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. I've got to have the next thing. I've got to do that. I've often said we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And I've got to have it. And it's not wrong to possess things, folks, but it is wrong when things possess you. And if you're getting older, if you're getting older, certainly you've reached the point that you've realized it's not in things. Things are just going to leave you empty. Things are just, I've got to get the latest. No. It's going to leave you empty. Elizabeth Taylor's true story, house was robbed. They took her rubies. They took her diamonds. They took her pearls. She was as calm as could be. And the officer said, Mrs. Taylor, why are you so calm? She said, officer, I'm not going to cry over things that can't cry back for me. I'm not going to cry over things that can't cry back for me. It's not in things. But he thought it was in things. And so he bought some diamond equipment and started digging for diamonds. He neglected his family. He neglected his family. He lost his family. He went through a divorce. He neglected his children because he's trying to get things. If we're not awful careful, we'll be so busy trying to give our children the things we didn't have, we're not giving them what we did. Trying to get the things. And he never did find the diamonds. And after losing everything, true story, Ali Hafad walks into a body of water and drowns himself. Now here's what's interesting. About a week after his death, somebody was out on the little farm that he sowed, and they saw a strange looking stone. And they started digging. And literally, his little farm was a diamond mine. The little farm that he sold was a diamond mine. You get what I'm saying?
What you're searching for, you've got. What you're searching for, you've got. But you've got to follow the law of priority. The law of pursuit. The law of possession. And the law of purity. And if you do that, there'll be no place like home.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.